And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They asked him, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found them, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? When he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard also these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin, But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. There's something in this passage that is often not covered in readings and in studies of the scriptures, but I believe this passage is a ripe passage to teach us something about difficult providence. When we have things take place in our lives that are tragic, that are trials, that are what the Puritans used to call evils, what is it that that we ought to do? How ought we to respond to such trials? And what is a right response? And what is the whys, or what are the whys and wherefores of such difficulties? It's really interesting what happens here at the beginning of this passage. And I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us here something, not just for this circumstance, but for all kinds of difficult providences and trials. The disciples ask what many consider to be a legitimate question. That legitimate question is, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Isn't that just like us? Are they really getting what they deserve? Is it finally coming? Are the chickens finally coming home to roost? And whose sin was it? Was it this guy's sin or was it his parents' sin? Who was the Lord trying to bring the hammer down on here? It's a really interesting question, and yet not an uncommon question. Sometimes it's not asked out loud. Sometimes it's just wondered mentally. Are they getting what they deserved? We're going to read in the book of Job here a little bit later on, and we find that this is the assumption of Eliphaz against Job, that he is some kind of wicked sinner. That's why God has moved against him the way he has. Job might be asking the same question. Eliphaz and his friends have already concluded the matter. The difficulty is that we believe that as long as we live right, God will treat us well. And as soon as we start to misbehave, then God's going to bring the hammer down. Brothers and sisters, if that was true, the hammer would always be upon us. And so the disciples ask that question, who sinned, this man or his parents? And the answer of our Lord Jesus Christ is legend. He says, neither this man nor his parents, but so that the works of God might be made manifest. What an amazing answer to that question. Because in some cases, we Christians retreat into a kind of karmic understanding of providence. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. Jesus blows apart that Eastern idolatrous mindset. And he says, neither this man sinned, nor his parents. Now, we know that the man and his parents were sinners. Jesus is not speaking absolutely. What he is saying is that the difficulty, the trial that this man is enduring, that he is under, is not a trial that he has received as a direct result of any sin of his own or the sin of his parents. The reason God sent this trial to this blind man is for this very purpose, that the works of God might be manifested in him. And the same is true of all dark providences that we receive. Why does the Lord send difficulty upon his own people? You remember, this is the apologetic of the unbeliever. How many unbelievers have you talked to and they say, Christianity can't be true. You know, devout old ladies die in accidents. They slip in the shower and kill themselves. If there was a God, that wouldn't happen, you know. What a childish or puerile understanding of who God is. God has a plan and a purpose in every trial he sends us. And that plan, are you ready? Is for his glory and our good. In every turn. Why do we receive trials? Why do difficulties come? Because it's time for the glory of God to shine forth. It's time for us to recognize the good things that the Lord is doing, even in difficult circumstances. So that's the first portion here. And so we are Reformed Presbyterians. Now, we have these concepts that circle around. You know, if you hear a Jew talk, he'll talk about, you know, a little Jewish guilt never hurts. Or if you hear a Roman Catholic talk, they'll talk about a little Catholic guilt never hurts. Listen, we do the same thing. Now, we don't like to admit it, but we do. We have this, we don't treat our consciences right as we ought. We don't confess our sins as we ought. We injure our consciences. We harbor sins. And so when bad things happen, when difficult providences come, we think, oh, God is just catching up with me. Silly. Silly way to think. Immature. Immature way to think. Jesus tells us how to think. Because we will never be out from under impending judgment if it's dependent upon our behavior. It's not going to happen. So the Lord sends dark providences, difficult times, that His glory may be seen. So that's the first part of the chapter. We have then this this extended metaphor. It isn't an actual historical circumstance, but it is also an extended metaphor. The Lord is genius in that there is this man born blind, and He heals this man that is born blind. And in the midst of the healing of this man who is born blind, that the works of God might be made manifest, He also accuses the Pharisees. And so in this extended historical circumstance, He is also drawing a metaphor of light and darkness, knowledge and ignorance. And so many times in Scripture, we see the word light, and the word light is put for knowledge. And darkness is put for ignorance. So also in this passage as well. So we have then this young man here who he is of age, but he is something of a young man. They call his parents, and he's been a beggar since his earliest adulthood, seeing that his parents had turned him out, it seems. And so he is interviewed by the Pharisees several times. And the interview is even somewhat comical, because the understanding that this man has, this is this simple-minded, faithful understanding. And then the understanding of the Pharisees, which is this incremental, okay, well, tell us exactly what he did and how exactly he healed you and if he worked or not, because we're more concerned about the Sabbath day than we are about works of mercy on the Sabbath day. We're more concerned about our perversions of what the Sabbath day is than we are with whether or not this man has done good unto you, the man who was born blind. And to the casual observer, it is a scene that is at once obscene, because they have ceased looking upon what Christ has done, and they're more concerned about their legalistic interpretation of the law. And isn't that a lot like natural humanity? And so, tell us what he did again, because they want the details, because they want to be able to sit down and judge whether or not Christ broke the Sabbath in his healing of the man. Now, to their way of thinking, that might be an understanding way of proceeding. Oh, well, we just want to know exactly what he did. But to our way of thinking, to the Scripture's way of thinking, what we see here is that what they're doing is seeking occasion to accuse. Seeking occasion to accuse. So, they call his parents. They bring his parents in. They want to know whether or not this is really the one, their son, who was born blind. Again, their ignorance here is palpable in this passage. Their darkness. It seems that the one who really sees in this passage is this man who has this simple faith in Christ. He says things like this. Well, I don't know where he's from or what he's done, but I do know this. I was blind. Now I can see. I know that. I know you're all concerned with Moses and whether or not he's like Moses. Well, I don't think Moses ever opened the eyes of a man who was born blind. I don't think since the beginning of the world that's ever been heard of. This is a remarkable thing, and you're trying to turn it into sin? And so his cutting through all of the red tape rigmarole of the Pharisaic interpretation of the Sabbath day to that simple faith in Christ and what Christ has done for him. You see, brothers and sisters, this is instructive to us. There's another interesting portion. We see that there is a progression of this man, that while he is given some light, that he's given some more light, and then he's given some more light, and then finally at the end of the chapter, he's given all the light, and he falls down and worships Christ, right? And so we understand that in this historical circumstance that is also an extended metaphor, that there is indeed more and more light that comes to us as Christians, that we learn more and more, and that we ought to be about such things. We also learn that there is greater and greater darkness to those who have dug in their heels against Christ. And so finally, the Pharisees bring him in and they say, "Thou wast altogether born in fornication." Now you know what that is. That's a reference to his parents being syphilitic. Right, having some kind of illicit disease that contributed to his blindness. What have they done? They've gone back to the original question, haven't they? Who sinned, this man or his parents? They have not yet worked out of that understanding that the mighty works of God might be seen. They have refused that understanding. And they've gone back to that self-righteous, who sinned, this man or his parents? So let this be instructive to us then. Because at the very end of the passage, our Lord sets out who sees and who's blind, and then flips that analogy all the way around for the sake of accusation and the pointing out of guilt. It's very interesting because Jesus says, "This is the reason I came into the world, that those who are in darkness may see, and those who..." And there's an ellipsis here. "Believe they have light, may become blind." And so the Pharisees look upon him and they say, "Oh, well, you must be calling us blind." And Jesus says, "Well, actually, I'm not. Because if you were blind, that is, without knowledge, you'd have no sin. But you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." And so he turns that analogy around in our Lord's genius fashion and tells the Pharisees at once that while they profess to be seeing, they are blind. But in that profession and in the station, in the position that they are in, that they are yet in their sins. And these were indeed the church guides of that day. So it is indeed possible then for church guides to err. For, as our confession says, for synods and councils to err. And yet, there is a greater responsibility laid upon them, as we've been studying the last few weeks. But what our Lord does here is our Lord says, if you would have light, then you will have it like the man who was born blind. You will have that simple, trusting, childlike faith in me. And all of the complexities and the turning of the knobs and the wondering about exactly what I did and whether or not I broke the Sabbath day, all of that self-righteous attitude, you need to put that away and believe in the Son of God. Right? Isn't that the man's question? Jesus heard that they had cast him out of the synagogue. And when they had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" And Jesus answered and said, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And so all of the machinations of the Pharisees, all of their twisting of the law, all of their thinking themselves to be righteous by the way that they kept the Sabbath, and Christ unrighteous by the way he kept the Sabbath, Jesus boils that all down to this. Do you believe in me or not? Do you have faith in the Son of God or not? And have you turned your back on your own filthy, ragged righteousness? It's a great passage. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.